council meeting. This is the city council meeting for March 24th, 2015. The time right now is about 7:04 p.m. Ms. Smith, will you call the roll?
Certainly, council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cuddaback, Rasmussen, Camp, Davis, Gamble, and Garrett.
Thank you. And council member Camp was kind enough to invite in this evening PAC 148, Tiger and Wolf Dance. And so they are going to be doing our leading us the pledge of allegiance this evening. I'm going to ask that the council members, when it comes time to do this, rise, push your chairs forward, and then move up against the wall as the flags pass by. That's not good. Okay, and Lincoln, you have the floor.
Order of section. Audience, please rise. Absolutely. Will that be important? Please put your right hand in your hand. Coder for Birch. Coder for. Please recite the pledge of allegiance.
But I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Coder for the flag of the United States. Coder for the flag of the Washington State flag. Coder, please call me.
stations that participate in local grocery stores on Saturday, March 20th, 2015. So, would you like to come forward, Neil, and say a couple words?
My gang. Good evening. Surrounding me here are several Monroe High School seniors. They are part of the crew that were selected as the Rotary Club Students of the Month, and they have embarked on this project and are just doing an incredible job. On Saturday, we'll see them in every grocery store in Monroe. They'll be from 11 until 5 in the afternoon. Prior to that, though, they have barrels in businesses all over town, in the YMCA, several other places. They've got food drives going at a couple of the schools, and just a lot of activity. On Friday, we'll be collecting from the city offices, police department, the fire department, and that'll be really the beginning of a very, very busy weekend. So we appreciate the proclamation, and in a couple of weeks, we'll be back and tell you how we did. This will be the first of many, though, and next year, we'll just build on this and build on it. So it's great. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you to everybody involved in this. On behalf of our council and the city, this is a very valuable thing to be doing, and thank you, each and every one of you. Mr. Collins, here's the proclamation.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Okay, so we're going to move back on the agenda to item number one, which is the 5th proclamation of the HR director and the Community Council.
We talked about this a few weeks ago that the job responsibilities have changed over time for the HR manager and the amount of fitting the director role, and we definitely appreciate the job that Ben has been doing, and so we recommend the appointment this evening, and Liz will read the appointment.
So on the motion?
Yeah, following the motion, I have the lights on. So if you're finished.
I am.
Great. Councilmember Karen.
Thank you. I move to confirm the appointment of Mr. Bedworth to the Human Resources Director position.
Second. Yeah, the first from Councilmember Garrett, and the second from Councilmember Gamble. Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I appreciate you, Ben, and everything you bring to our team. And I'll definitely be voting in favor of this. And there's something that recently you just seem to have more wisdom about you.
You want to go there?
I'm just trying to figure it out.
That's all.
Ben, I just wanted to say thank you for your service. You've been a real asset to the city, and I appreciate all the hard work that you do. Thank you.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Ben, likewise, it's a pleasure working with you, and look forward to continuing through the years. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You've been somebody I really appreciate the counsel that you give, the advice working with you, and congratulations. So we have a second. Any other discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Raise your right hand. I will go ahead and read the oath, and you may choose to swear or affirm by saying I do when I am finished. Ben Worthen, you do solemnly swear or affirm that you support the Constitution and laws of the United States and State of Washington and ordinances of the City of Monroe, and that you will faithfully and impartially perform and discharge the duties of Human Resources Director according to law and to the best of your ability and understanding.
I do swear.
Good.
Last time I had to sign one of those and say that, I had to shave my head.
Okay, next item we have on our agenda is under announcements and presentations. This is number three. This is a presentation on the state legislative advocacy.
thank you guys. I'm Chad Medic. I wasn't going to be here today, but I am. So appreciate your time. Gene's passing around a handout here for us. We had come to the mayor and city administrator Brazel a few weeks ago with our proposal here to represent the city of Monroe in the down in Olympia with, not just in Olympia, we'll get into that in a minute here, but just represent the city of Monroe's interests in Olympia, especially as it relates to capital budget, transportation budget issues. There's a lot that the city of Monroe can be taking advantage of, we feel, in the legislative and budget processes that could really bring home a lot of return on the investment if you had someone that was down there advocating full-time for you there. So just on the first page there about us, some of you know me. I used to sit up here back when there was less facial hair in this sector. I'm pretty sure there was a smile from Ed Davis. I'm not sure. Kind of twitch your ear, right? and our other lobbyist here, Brian Wall, and I'll have him introduce himself here in a minute. We have a long history of public advocacy and lobbying in Olympia and many relationships that we've developed over 20 years that we absolutely would love to exploit on behalf of the city of Monroe. So, like I said, just check our references here on the paper if you have any questions, feel free to give us a call. But we do feel like that we bring the experience that the city could absolutely utilize in terms of knowing the legislative process. We also have sat where you sat many boards and commissions. Brian actually is a council member in the city of Mount Terrace and represents Sonoma Cities and Towns on the Puget Sound Regional Council. Big alternate though, right?
Right.
Yeah. As well as other boards and commissions. So has a lot of knowledge and experience about local government, as well as having spent more than a decade as a lobbyist already in Olympia, lobbying on behalf of various clients. Of course, we feel like we have relationships that we know the people that are in the room making those decisions regarding budgetary decisions, regarding transportation budget, capital budget, et cetera, and a very strong understanding of public policy as well. So we feel like what we would like to do for you is to represent the city of Monroe in the legislature specifically, but we do have a lot of other ideas about other places where there might be some possible funding sources for some of the projects that we have coming up, et cetera. So I'm going to bring Brian up here and he's going to talk about specifically that, like what we propose that we could do for you, and then we'll answer any questions you have.
Great, thank you. Good evening, Mayor, Council members. I'm Brian Wall. As Chad mentioned, I've had a number of years of experience in government affairs, from the policy and to political to public advocacy and helping organizations be successful in advocating for their interests. We'd like to be able to do that for you. I think there's a lot of opportunity for you that we'd like to bring forward to the city. We're ready to hit the ground running. The main thing I want to kind of highlight in the action plan is, well, even though the session is already well underway, we think there's opportunity to take advantage of getting in front of the legislature and advocating for your interests right away and an opportunity to talk with the legislators, particularly the key legislators, not only your legislative delegation, but also the leaders in the legislature and in particular certain committees that are going to be moving forward on issues that you are concerned about. The other thing that is going to be important is being able to track legislation and then reporting back to you. Really starting to create a relationship with you and your legislative delegation and the legislature in general to make sure that your interests are advocated for down in Olympia. After session, we'd like to be able to really kind of build on relationships that you have with your legislators and bring them in and talk with you about how the session went and what kind of opportunities there are moving forward from there. As important as this legislative session is really getting prepared for the next year and getting underway by sitting down with your mayor and your staff and identifying what opportunities there are to make sure that we are taking advantage of every chance to be able to bring dollars home to Monroe. There's a lot of capital projects in particular that you have that there's potential for being able to reach out to not only the state legislature, but with my involvement through the Snohomish County Cities, representing you guys on not only Puget Sound Regional Council, but also Snohomish County Policy Advisory Board for Housing and Community Development. There's a lot of grant dollars available from the federal, state, and local governments that we can bring back to back to Monroe. And so want to be able to start identifying those and what your capital budget issues are, what other issues you have that you're interested in being able to look at, and then based on what those issues are, what those projects may be, start to prepare a legislative agenda for the following legislative session. So that's kind of in a nutshell what we'd like to be doing and working with you on, but we'd love to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you.
Great.
Councilmembers, do you have any questions at this time? Okay. I think that's all.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you both very much for your time. One of the things that we have on our agenda for later in the agenda is under discussion, we're going to be talking about the ending fund balance from last year and a couple of different things that we can talk about adding to the budget. Those include everything from the Main Street Plaza project to hiring a deputy city clerk. So there's some ongoing costs, and then there's some one-time costs or expenditures. And so that would be a time I think it would be appropriate to talk a little bit about these sorts of options. Does anybody have any questions? Councilmember Herring.
Thank you. I appreciate you both being here tonight. Specifically, the transportation issues you brought up. Obviously, those are near and dear to Monroe. As I think of it, I think of getting 522 four lanes all the way. There's the funnel that we still have, and that was supposed to have been paid for a while ago, and I think that money got taken away somewhere. And then obviously, we have a bypass there. You know, we have three different state highways that run through town here. When you're talking about representing those type of issues, you're getting in front of, you know, I think Senator Pearson is the head of the transportation. I think he's in the Senate. He's one of the, he is transportation. Yeah, he's in the Senate. So what kind of conversations are you having when you go down there, I guess? I just love to hear more about that. I mean, those are the first three things that I think of transportation-wise that would be, you know, really have a positive impact on getting some traction moving forward, you know, why would 500 away, anything with regard to Highway 2. That's been stalled or politically held back or something, you know, over the years. How do you get traction on that?
The first thing is really understanding the process and understanding there's right now there's two different packages. There's a transportation budget, right, and they pass that every year, or a supplemental budget next year. But then right now, what's moving through the process is a revenue package, an additional transportation package, where a lot of the new revenue will end up going, potentially new revenue, to fund transportation projects. It's going to be important for us to be able to identify, working with the key players, you know, not only the legislative delegation, but their, and Senator Pearson being on the Transportation Committee is important, but it's really going to be the leadership, both the chair and the vice chair, and then the ranking players that are making a lot of those decisions behind closed doors. It's an open process, of course, but it's they're negotiating right now which projects are going to end up in the final packages, and so being able to work together with those legislators, not only in the Senate, but also in the House side, and making sure that the projects that you're interested in seeing are included, or at least have a voice in that process.
Yeah. I might also add that that one of the things we want to encourage you to look at if we go forward with this is long-term and short-term goals. There are long-term goals like fixing 522. Like you said, we have three state highways that all converge right here in Monroe, and that's fairly unique among cities and towns of our size. And so that obviously needs to be, you know, a high priority moving forward. We also understand that realistically those are really big items, and so it's going to take a lot of groundwork and a lot of legwork to be able to get, you know, get the attention of the right people and make sure that happens. If we had started the process, you know, a while ago, then it's possible we could have gotten something of that size in this new revenue package, but you know, squeak your wheels prevailed, and I just don't think anything's going to happen. But on the shorter-term projects, transportation budget every biennium and then a supplemental, depending on how revenues come in the off-year, those are intended to fund smaller transportation projects. You know, you need a light down at by Blueberry Lane, you know, things like that. Things that are in your transportation improvement plan that need funding that that we can go advocate to get in there every year. So instead of, you know, the city having to spend its you know, meager resources or try to, you know, go out to the voters to increase taxes for transportation projects, that kind of thing, it's possible we can kind of get back maybe some of our taxes that we send to Olympia, pay for some of those.
The thing that we can be thinking about is, yes, there's this legislative session, but there's a lot of other grant opportunities available. So, for instance, on those other projects, the shorter-term projects, things like that, you've got the Transportation Improvement Board, and you've got you know, a lot of federal, state, and local resources available at the through the county and the regional council. So being able to take advantage of that, that's what we're going to get with you. I think the projects and what opportunities might be able to start advocating for, putting in some grant requests.
No, very good. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilmember Hanford.
You know, it's not on this one. Just a question about, like, how does it work? How would you divide up your time? Because you're a councilor for Mount Dias, so you're obviously carrying that passion or burden, and yet we're talking about, you know, we're looking at this, you're proposing. So how would you divide yourself like that?
Well, I can tell you, first of all, that we actually have our own lobbyist for the city of Mount Lake Terrace, so I'm going to let her carry that water.
Okay.
And so they're not paying me. So we'll be advocating the interests of our clients.
Okay.
And are you concerned about conflicts?
Well, yeah, state says we're going to spend so much in this region, and as a Mount Lake Terrace council member, you're in the back of your mind, you're thinking, oh, you might have to have it in our area. So I'm just,
okay,
yeah.
That's a good question. And that's not as common as you think in terms of, you know, what region. Sometimes you'll get it. Sometimes there's a little bit of a territorial issue as regards to legislative districts. In other words, you know, that legislative delegation, you guys, come on, you already have this, and this, which, of course, you've got in Terrace and Monroe and different legislative districts have different representation. But usually it's not like, well, we're sending too much money to Snohomish County or too much money to King County. Well, there's a lot of we send too much money to King County. But for instance, right now, I would say with a transportation package, I would say that Pierce County is getting, you know, massively overrepresented in the new transportation package, and part of it is because that's where the need is, that's where the growth is. But the kind of issues we're talking about, with the exception of 522, which is a you know, statewide significance kind of highway, with the exception of that, what we're talking about are smaller projects that it's just a matter of knowing the right people and utilizing our current legislative delegation effectively, if that makes sense.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions, Councilor? Okay, thank you both very much for the presentation.
Thank you.
The next item we have on our agenda this evening is comments from citizens. This is the time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Testimony is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Is there anybody who would like to come forward to speak? Please come forward and state your name and address for the record. And Ms. Smith, has anybody signed in?
Good evening, everyone. My address is 12313 226th Street, Southeast, Snohomish, Washington. My name is Brandon Perano. I am the former student representative for the City of Monroe. I'm actually on my spring break from school, so I decided to drop in and give a little update. Since my time at City Council, I am actually in my second year at the University of California, San Diego. I am currently studying urban planning, urban studies and planning, with the focus, or I'm particularly interested in alternative housing as well as community engagement. Currently, I am looking for internships with the city for the summer, hopefully to get a little bit more knowledge and experience with policy and how projects come about within the city. I'm also working on a website right now. It's called Project Transcend. The idea of this website is to create a network, a social network for young people who have ideas and projects that they want to do, and hopefully create a space that they can connect with each other to collaborate and actually achieve these projects. I'm also planning on hosting a career seminar with the Monroe High School DECA Club, and that's actually going to be happening this Friday from 2 to 4 p.m. At Monroe High School. The purpose of this seminar is to allow students an opportunity to connect and hear from local professionals on a variety of different fields. We actually have several people from the city that will be giving presentations and giving an input, including Vince Bertrand and Jordan Otto from the Water Department, and Officer Justin Springer with the Monroe Police Department. And with that, I just want to say thank you to the City Council and City of Monroe for allowing me the opportunity to be a student representative, all of the experience that I gained from it, and kind of just the interest and passion of working with the city. I can't thank you guys enough, so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's great seeing you.
Yeah.
Is there anybody else who'd like to come forward to speak this evening? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to executive session, pricing of property. This is Ms. Christian Diversity, 42-30-110-1C. For approximately 15 minutes, there will be actions to start off the executive session. Thank you all very much. Okay, we're back in session. The next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. Councilmember Garrett, I'm going to move you from the consent agenda.
Second.
And first, Councilmember Garrett, second, Councilmember Cutter, back to discussion on the meeting consent agenda. Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. 7-0. Next up, our agenda is the business system of money, 15-055. Authorizing the assigned public defender, backup/conflict agreement.
Thank you, Mayor. We currently have a backup defender in place. It came to our attention recently that we should have a backup to the backup. And so, this evening, if I was going to consideration.
Second. First, Councilmember Kim. Any discussion?
we were looking at closing out the books, we found out what the exact general fund beginning fund balance is, and it's $435,000 more than what we estimated. And that's due to conscious decisions that was made at staff level to either delay or not do certain services that cost money. And so it's a conscious cost saving effort on the part of staff. So we have this extra money rolling over, plus sales tax revenue is coming in. It looks like we're going to be about $157,000 more than what we estimated to increase on the sales tax. So seeing that things were looking a little brighter and in doing the five-year forecast, we put everything into the head, it was looking brighter. The mayor was concerned about just things running amok, and he wanted us to be more strategic in planning. How are we going to handle this revenue rather than just going, oh, we need something here, we need something there, and we need to have more of a cohesive plan. And so staff got together with the mayor, we deliberated, we came up with some ideas. I'm bringing them here to you tonight, so you can discuss them. Let us give some feedback, what your thoughts are. The first one is the contingency fund. If we take out of that $435,000, we'll take $250,000 of it this year, and then again in 2016, and then $115,000, 2017, we will pay back the contingency fund without causing any undue hardship to the general fund. And after that, it will require, according to the forecast, and I'll put that copy of the forecast in front of each of you just because it's really hard to read small and what you can hear. So if you want me to go through the forecast, I'm happy to, if you need it, to explain it all, like what it means. I'm happy to do that, but first I'll just tell you what the ideas are, and the forecast backs up the numbers and these ideas. But first we'll make the contingency fund, and to appropriate $160,000 from the contingency fund from the Main Street Plaza, the followers, and you know, the, making it look nice, and totally changing the look of downtown. Thank you.
help people feel like, yeah, it's easy to work with the workers, so the bottom line of all these things before I quit talking is the beginning fund balance is going to increase by $435,000. Sales tax rate is going to increase by $157,000. Though there's these expenditures, they were thrown out as priorities, and hopefully council concurs or has an alternative. And then that will be the undesignated fund balance in the general fund. And this is aside from the emergency reserves of $173,000, which is nice. That's nice. That's just any amount. The contingency fund, the revenue is increased $250,000, expenditures by $160,000. We need contingency fund balance increase of $90,000. On this sheet with the columns of numbers, the forecast. If I can bring your attention down to the shaded light where it goes across undesignated fund balance, because that's the money that's just in your ending balance that's unaccounted for, because we do have, on top of all of this that I'm saying, we still are meeting our restricted fund balance for emergencies. That's right below that shaded line, the 1.8 million. We're still maintaining that, and we're still maintaining our public safety restricted balance, and that's the federal enforcement money. And so, I just wanted to show that that's the line you want to look at, is how much money you have left over. That's with your beginning fund balance, your revenues, your expenditures, your restricted fund balances, then after that, what you have left is that undesignated fund balance. And so, as you can see, it's increasing according to this forecast that we have right now. I put in some of the assumptions were 2% inflation. So you can see the different increases and all, like salaries, because a lot of the police officers are at the lower end of the spectrum. We have $20,000 a year extra on salaries for step increases, but the first thing you have to do is then $3,000 extra for payroll taxes and benefits because of the step increases. You know, there's a few tweaks like that for around our forecast. If you have any questions about the assumptions on the business, give me a call. Let me just ask you if I can do that.
And before we move on, any council member questions and comments, the net operating revenues and expenditures, that's the boundary that we've been paying attention to. And so we want to make certain the revenues exceed the expenditures, which creates a net positive number here. And so that's why we do the 5-year forecast, and so we can look both at the gray line, but also when you count the one-time expenditures, just the boundary line, it's that net operating before we hire a person, before we take on a contract that has multiple years associated with it, and looking at that, and that's why we can start to go into the green information, and I think it gives us a good tool for strategic decision making. We also noticed that we've gone ahead and we've had in the Commons here, there's 2015 budget, the first conference to approve in December, and 2015 for changes, as shown on here. In 2016, I understand the improvements to FTEs in that column, so that net operating revenue in 2021, a lot of expenditures that includes student FTEs, and whether it's a clinic FTE, and for example, in that county, so whether it's that or something else, that just gives you an idea of what that looks like if we take out those two, FTEs, but based on conversation with staff and county, what's important. Staff will be waiting until 2016, and we've received feedback that the entire meeting value what position that is uncertain, and when the other side comes in, that gives us an opportunity to figure that out. Those one-time expenditures, the Cedar Main Street Program, and
funds, I know we have a few reserve funds, we have about six policy, reserve funds, and other funds that we set up. This reserve fund a couple years ago, were there any others that are underfunded or that you recommend that are like this year will be for everything? Okay, even though some of the reserves were using it, we should be using the, but the maintenance reserve fund, we have one.
Oh, yeah, that's another, yeah, we have, the, you mean the equipment replacement fund, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Facility replacement. We have, by setting the internal service funds, we have a mechanism where through the fees that they charge every year.
So much on that, yeah, and it's a staff, yes, to fund something in the future.
Yeah, because we have it, and a rolling five-year average, so, yeah.
And then looking at the ongoing expenditures, thank you, Councilor Secretary, I have some same questions about the deputy city clerk, but, you know, it looks to me, having read the paper and having heard the discussion about the accountants and what we're legally required to do, to me, that seems a higher priority than waiting till 2015, especially when we have funding for it. Now, the city was tight, we didn't have funding. Say that to the auditors, that we're making plans for it, but we have funding for it. For me, that seems a higher priority to make sure we're meeting the legal requirements and having someone else look over the financials. So, that would be my feedback about that. I agree with the planning full-time person waiting till we get our director on board and getting sets of what the plan is for that department. As far as the one-time expenditures, just quickly, completely waiver with something with downtown Main Street, I think anything that we can supplement, especially if we have some money. I don't see that as a one-time expenditure, so, and I also see the lobby firm as not a one-time expenditure, so if those are misnamed, that might be a two or three-year plan that we might have to look at. The downtown Main Street, whether it's broken up, maybe 25 each year, or maybe 50 each year, you know, it's something. I think that's just a placeholder that might not be the actual cost, but this is what I'm saying, something that needs to be looked at more. The lobbying fund, I'm hesitant about, I see a real need for a lobbying fund. I sit on a board, as a volunteer that has a lobbying fund that they can update as much as goes, every court being a bill, he just gave us an update on how it goes. So I see that, an advantage and, you know, can be a good use of funds. I'm concerned with starting it right now, we're already into the session. I see some issues with kind of what they laid out, we might need to discuss that more. It sounded like we're going to have a discussion next time or next week and possibly move forward. So we hope now is the time to talk about it, or we'll have more of a discussion about the that
way things are done, how logical they are, do they make sense, is there too much bureaucracy, those type of things, and I think getting some public comment, maybe having a ad hoc task force, a developer, small or big, a civil engineer, someone who's giving feedback on what makes sense for our community, I really think there's a need for that, so I didn't know if that fit in with this. Sound like it, but I think it's time to get some more.
on, so those are some of the things we can use sooner. Rewriting procedures is something we can do next sooner, and then rewriting the zoning regulations, which includes the fees, and that's a longer project, but it has to be this week first. So, yeah, it's just triage.
Succession planning, Mayor Diane and Ben and I,
are, most of the people that are involved in that work right now are getting toward retirement age.
Some money.
sure that's right. Your budget manager, that just doesn't make any progress. Makes it much less. She gives us some time to make some extra information as fast. So, it's like a catch more of a, maybe just some communication. So, the Victor earlier said, what I was responding to, what I was presenting to the comments was something that you put together the legislative committee, subcommittee, putting together the agenda for the upcoming year, and approaching our legislative representatives or subcommittee legislators, even with the late summer.
council of projects for underlying property. Does any council member have a council member who's a voting worker? Does any council member have a personal, familial, employment, or other business relationship with a voting worker? Does any council member own property with 500 feet of the project site? Is any council member aware of any personal interests or involvement with the project, votes of record, or the property, which should be fairly disclosed? Okay, now this is the second series of questions that deals with impartiality. Is any council member aware of any personal bias for or against any party or against the project? Has any council member prejudged any of the issues in considered timing? Has any council member not reviewed the record materials provided with respect to this matter? Is any council member aware of any reason why they will not be able to perform their duties in an objective, impartial, and fair manner? Next section refers to ex parte communications. Has any council member had ex parte communications regarding this matter? If so, the substance of the communication must be formally disclosed, placed on the record, and an opportunity to rebut the substance of the communication must be provided to the parties. And then you're risking any ex parte communication. Lastly, now is the time for any party of record to make a challenge on the appearance of fairness. And any failure to raise the appearance of fairness challenge when the basis for that challenge becomes known to the party, effectively raises the challenge from going forward. Essentially, this is the one opportunity to seek recusal of any council member. Last week draft of the already proposed ordinance, but revise it on the way to turn it into a ban. I would require the city council to hold a public hearing, which that's made by the open advertising on Friday, and then we can take on 21st, so the public hearing will be held, and then you can consider what to do after that. The other way is to have second reading of the expanded buffers, and then remand back to the planning commission to consider an ordinance that would do a ban. So that would be some ordinance that would be effectively after publication, 5-day notice period, have that, and then consider a ban application, which would then, if that's the only way you want to go, that would be until that beginning of the ban, because we are able to be considered a ban. Do you have any questions that we have to answer for? Thank you. Council, what's your pleasure?
Evolving and new information that's come up, and I think this is
And then, this really gets me
got some feedback from them. There was a general concern about people's ability to parallel park. I then met with Councilmembers Rasmussen and Camp, and also with Chris from Monitor at the Sky River Bakery. We left to go because they had forgotten a lot of the shops were opening around 11 o'clock. So we decided to head down to New Orleans to see something different. I heard about Squamish all the time. I think we know Squamish, we know Sutton. I thought we'd take a trip down to New Orleans just to measure their sidewalks and things like that. Councilmember Camp brought the measuring tape. We measured the sidewalks down there at 15 feet. And so that gave us an idea of dimension instead of, you know, how much 20 feet really is on the ground. We then came back up here and then went door to door, spoke with people who were business owners, people who were just working in county that particular day. A number of the people that I knew as the business owners expressed concern about the loss of parking with the proposed parallel parking plan. And as you all know, one of the things that we learned is that at the Sky River Bakery, there was a billboard that at the time had 3 pages worth of people that had signed a petition against doing the parallel parking. So with the information that we gleaned from the going through for a few hours on Saturday, we came, I met the staff yesterday at 4, and said, okay, is there a way that we can get 15-foot sidewalks within our right-of-way without losing any parking stalls? And the best that staff can come up with is what you see here right now. This drawing depicts parallel parking on the south side.
Okay.
Yes, thank you, Councilor Baker. So it depicts parallel parking on the south side, angled parking on the north side. The drawing also depicts removing the ADA parking stalls within the project site or relocating them, which helps to gain back a parking stall or two that would otherwise be shaded out for ADA purposes. So what you're looking at here is rather than losing 20 parking stalls with parallel parking 20-foot sidewalks on both sides, what you're looking at here is losing 6 spots, going from 69 to 63, by having angled parking on the north side and parallel parking on the south side. Again, what this shows here is 15-foot sidewalks, not 20. This is an increase from 10, which is what we have today, 15. Is that a good summary?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Brad, please go ahead and the one other thing we did was we adjusted the angled parking plan in such a way that we gained 2 parking stalls. But again, that had to do with the ADA parking, and so that was the trade-off. The space being reserved for somebody to get in and out of their car had been removed, which allows for 2 parking stalls to appear on the street. So that's moving from 69 to 71 in that line. Staff also advised me there was an opportunity for adding parking about a block on Hyers.
So let's focus on this right here. Brad, will you go through this?
First, as the mayor said, angle on the north side and parallel on the south side. We still have the increase the area of the wider sidewalk at the ends, of the street blocks. I have been able to see before there was like a motorcycle parking or something like that. We decided to, expand that out. It would be available sometime in the future for, someone to set up something, sidewalk measurement or something, we did also on this side, this is the west end, we have an extra parking space here. There's a little driveway that currently goes into the old place. And then there is a place for a compact stall next to that we have at the corner, which currently doesn't have a parking space, and we gained a parking space there. We did look at further west in front of Union Bank, and then further east in front of Pacific Power Battery, to see if we could add any more parking there to increase the number of spaces. But because into the west, in order to keep the space out of the way for the driveways going into Union Bank for having a car tail sticking out where the people are coming around the corner on the southbound
sidewalk down there is already wider, so there's not enough room in the street to do the second row of parallel parking and not have people get back out to cross the center line. You have to look for parking both ways in order not to, you know, run into somebody. So we tried to get extra parking spaces down there, but it just didn't work out. However, since the bus is leaving, it's not going to go from downtown anymore, but the new revision starting June 30th, there will be a left turn on Kelsey to go northbound there. We will be able to pick up, I think, it's three spaces in front of Key Bank, the current bus stop is. So there will be an extra three spaces for downtown. I think it's all.
So the reason why we tried to prepare this for you this evening is that there are a lot of concerns, a lot of comments, and a number of different forums from you and also the public to have the opportunity to see this third option. If council has other thoughts, other concerns, if you could let me know, I'll forward those concerns to Mr. Fowler and his staff will do their best to at least be able to respond to those on the 31st, a week from today. We will, so we have one councilor, who's a councilor for that, or Rasmussen suggesting putting, at least putting this up on the website so that the council, so that people, all three of them, so people can see the three options. Oh, so that all three versions could be available for people to view. And then, of course, this will be in the packets along with all of the written comments that I've received and forwarded to you. Those are in the packets also. Before I go to council members, does staff have anything else to add?
I was going
to
say one thing. If you look at our homepage, it says down there, interested in downtown parking, click here for more information. I'll actually have those three drawings at the end of that link. So if you're talking to any business people or residents downtown, you can say, go to the homepage, put up a thing that will show you the different layouts of parking.
We call them alt, option one, angled parking, option two, parallel parking, option three, half, or parking in front. So it's a little simple that we have to understand. Okay. I think that's it. Councilor Hanford, and then Cutback, and then Kim.
reason why now, what we're trying to do with some of the things we talked about was getting to that bigger sidewalks, those type of things, and then a summary of each, what each kind of get, each of them, you know, make sure, look on it, nobody could look on that and know that, oh, I'm getting wider sidewalks. So while it helps me, I have more information than the average person, so.
And we knew, and I appreciate the comment about the creative discussion, I'm so pleased that we had so many people, you know, talk about this, and we knew there would be, oh, no, lots of parking space, and the issue about parallel parking, so I think it's promoted a lot of discussion, and it's led us to possibly, you know, discussion about increasing sidewalks, if that means, and then a bigger, so I think people have to understand the totality of what we're trying to do, but then what comes out of each diagram, or each
yes, it's better.
Yeah.
But open up the passenger side and the driver's side and get the wheelchair around and start to get into it, there's not enough room. So that's what that is.
Yeah.
It's a normal 8 feet spaces, the space is 8 feet wide, and there's the 8 feet next to it, and so that movement. Also, the van, you know, right now you pull up the van, it's got the little arm, and the thing that comes down, there's a space behind it. Do that, that would be available on this. You can still do, you know, if you designated it, maybe you put green space on, around the corner on Blakely, you can still do the van down, or also all of the back of the van, too, because you pull in, and there's that little parking space at the south end of Blakely where the firefighter is, so you can, you know, drop your ramp down back to do that. The berm right now where the space is in front of the, we might go a little bit, it's a high ADA handicap spot, you know, that has the extra space on the, which is right there. That's the space for the driveway in to the little place that allows the driver's handicap to, they can not be in traffic, you know, and set their wheelchair out and get out of the car that way. So there is, you know, some give and take in that way.
Could you have ADA on the corner? That was my issue with the designing space. You should have to have a regular space.
Remain where we are with the engagement.
driver's side, and then this one over here would be an 80 moving over here on the passenger side. Still a pattern, too. Right. And you've got the question. I also want to thank Councilmember Camp for his support. And your center out there, Mayor. This is great. I'm excited to have the conversation that we're having on this. For me, losing 20 spaces was a non-starter. Part of understanding one part of this and the value coming
what he does in front of his buildings with the wider sidewalks, so I'm fairly confident. In addition to that, on Saturday, I actually met with another developer that's interested in parcel 99.